Anybody on?
Anyone there? Okay.
I am.
Just want to make sure. Cecilia here.
Hello?
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 This is Sophia.
Hi.
Shortly. Hi, how are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Chris should be on shortly. I just, he was having a little bit of issues logging on, but he should be on soon.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Carlene. This is the first time I've ever been on.
Hello, welcome.
Are you on, Ryan?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Jason?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. It's raining like crazy here.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We had a. It's actually nice today. We had a bunch of rain the last, like, 3 days here, but finally nice today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to rain right from today all the way through the weekend, so.
Yeah. That's a good weekend to sit in and read.
Yeah, I'll be doing that. Strictly in the Word.
Yep.
Okay. I am here.
Hey, Chris.
Hello?
Hey, Chris.
I almost felt like saying, I am Groot, is that what his name is?
Oh, yes. From Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, exactly. That's funny. I am Groot. I am here. Sorry about the delay. I was having technical issues, and but resolved, and here I am. So welcome, everyone. Thank you, Lisa and Sophia, for holding down the fort while I was getting in here. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Very good.
Good, good. Okay, did you guys do any, Lisa, Sophie, did you guys do any intro stuff, or?
No, not yet. Kind of wanted to wait till you got on.
Okay, so we are here, and we've got, I hear at least one other guy with us, but I'm sure we have more. All right, so let me get started here. Welcome, everybody. It's, 9:36 Eastern time, so we'll probably have other people joining us later. I just posted online. So hopefully more will join. Let me open it with prayer, and then we can go ahead and get started. And again, thank you for patiently waiting while I logged in. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for this opportunity. We can come here together and speak about the wonderful things that you're doing in our lives and in our marriages. And even though we don't see it that way just now, we know, Father, that your word is true and everything in the Bible is true. And, Father, as we are on this journey, me and my fellow brothers and sisters, as we are on this journey to discover you in and through our lives and the things that you're doing in our lives, Father, we ask that you come join us as we talk about these things, that as iron sharpens iron, that we could do that with one another tonight, and that with your word, your truth, and through your Holy Spirit, that we might do that and build each other up, encourage each other, and standing on your word. So, Father, we ask, come join us. You ask that you said that if two or more are gathered in your name, you'll be there with us. So here we are. We ask you, and we invite you and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to come join us tonight. And so here we are. We're opening up our hearts and our minds to you, your word, your truth. Teach us and instruct us through your Holy Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, so we constantly are having people logging in, and I will go ahead and let me just go ahead and start. Lisa and Sophia, you guys can jump in and interrupt any time. I tend to be like a freight train once I get going. It's hard to stop me. So apologies in advance. Lisa, Sophia, and myself, we are the SOS team. It's kind of cool, but at the same time, SOS really stands for Standing on Scripture. So like everyone else who's on the conference call, we're standing for our marriages. We're standing on Scripture because we know that God's word is true, And if God said he's going to restore our marriages, he's going to do that. And he also said, if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. So that's really, if we can end the call right now and walk away with those two verses, and our marriages are restored, period. That's it. We don't need 1,000 promises from God. We just need one, and one's good enough. That God is not man that he should lie. And he's not like you or me or someone else, human, where, you know, he could go back on a promise or break those promises. God has never broken any promises. Anyway, coming back to the intro, SOS, standing on scripture, that's what we try to do here. So tonight what we're going to do, in all that I say tonight, I'm going to stay as close as I can to scripture because it could speak for itself. It doesn't need me. God already said it and did it all, and that's it. So with that in mind, I also want to say, since tonight's conference call is mainly for men, women, you obviously you're here, and you'll glean something from all of this, I'm sure, because God's word applies to all of us. But what I want to say personally is that I'm just the guy standing for my marriage. I'm no different, and I'm no better or worse than any other guy on this call or any other woman. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that's all I am, just another guy standing for marriages. And I've never done it before. This is the first time I've ever stepped out and done anything like this. So it's not going to look great. It's not going to look pretty. It's not going to, you know, be, it's not like going to church. I'm just, you know, speaking what I know, what I've experienced, and what God says in the Bible. Okay, so let me also talk about a couple things about this conference call. Mm-hmm. I would please ask, would everyone look at your phone right now, whatever you're using, and put yourself on mute. Later when we open it up for a conference, for questions and answers and participation, then, you know, then take yourself on mute and speak up. The reason for that is our experience in the past is we've heard all kinds of stuff happening in the background, microwaves, you know, heating up meals, people eating popcorn and chips in the background. And believe it or not, we hear it all. It's funny. Please mute yourself, and otherwise we're going to have to do it here on this side. We may forget to unmute you, so we prefer you do it yourselves. The other thing is this, is that we are recording these conference calls for the purpose of posting them on the praisereports.org website, and we post that on the RMM prayer wall a lot. If you guys bookmark that website, you'll see praise reports there, restored marriages. You'll also go in there and you'll be able to see the or listen to the conference calls, the previous ones we've done. We've done some great ones. We've had some great testimonials. And so you want to bookmark that and go visit weekly because that's where we post them. Having said that as well, because we record these and post these, if you're going to speak up in this conference call, please do not refer, please don't use your spouse's name, number one. Number two, if you choose to use yours, that's fine. It's your choice. But use your first name only, please. So no spouse's names, your first name only, if at all. You don't even have to. Okay, and then the last thing I want to do is provide an announcement. We have a special conference call, and I'm going to try to post this as often as I can between now and, well, today and tomorrow. This Saturday morning at 9:30 Eastern time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. I know for those of you in the Midwest and on the West Coast, I'm sorry, it's at 9:30 in the morning. We have a special conference call, and I'll tell you why. It'll be worth it. We have the guy who's coming on. His name is Patrick. He's in Perth, Australia. I've spoken with him many times. He was a prayer partner with me about a year ago for, I don't know, 6, 8 months, 12 months. He would call me from Australia, and we'd spend an hour, hour and a half on the phone. We did that weekly for a while, and then biweekly, and then we just kind of stopped. He's a dear friend of mine, His marriage has been restored. He was a standing husband, and I think that's really cool because I think Lisa, Sophia, he is the first, right? Yeah, he's the first, standing husband with a restored marriage coming on to the conference call.
And I think, Chris, I just want to say, if somebody wants to go back and read his testimony, there was something that you posted on praisereports.org where you shared his testimony along with the wife's testimony, too. So if you guys want to go back to that, to the praisereports.org website and read it, that way you know, can see kind of his journey before you listen to his testimony on Saturday.
Yes, thanks for the reminder, Sophia, because that's really important. Yeah, praisereports.org. and you'll see that when I post the conference calls, I put the link at the bottom, too. So it's the same website. But go there, both Patrick and his wife's testimony, separate testimonies, but they're posted there. Read them both. Patrick is the one who's coming on this Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. So if you have friends, if you have other people, spread the news. I could use your guys' help to post that on the website as well, on the prayer, the RMM praise, prayer wall. Post it there as well. Share it with other men that you're communicating with. The more the better, because this will be your opportunity to hear him speak, and then maybe if you have burning questions that no one's asked, you could ask. It's going to be great. It's a great treat. And but who knows? Maybe I'll have him back in 3 months, you know, because we have different people coming in and out of these conference calls and prayer wall. So having said that, that's pretty much it. Do I have any questions at this point before I get started with tonight for men only conference call? But women are welcome. Any other guys? Anything? No? Okay, so in putting together tonight's for men only, as I mentioned before, I'm not a professional at this. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. So forgive me if I make mistakes and fumble along the way. One thing I also try to do is stick as close as I can with Scripture. Let me make this abundantly clear. Now, I'm going to do this like several times because there are some things we really need to hear it and then hear it and then hear it again and keep repeating that in our minds until it sinks into our hearts. God wants all marriages to be restored. And God's word is truth. And one thing that really burns me is when I hear anyone standing for their marriage say, well, I just talked to my preacher, and he said, you know, fill in the blank. Or I just talked to, you know, my friends, and it doesn't matter. The only word that matters tonight in this conference call, during your stand, during every day of your life, is what God says. Not what Chris says, not what Lisa, Sophia says, not what Bob and Charlene say. They can speak of their experience. But anytime what they say stands in contradiction with what God says, God rules and God wins, hands down. It's not even a competition. And when I first started my stand, I ran to the church. I ran to two different churches. I'm in Ohio. I called my old church back in California. I still knew some people there. I called them, reached out to them. And everything that they were telling me didn't make sense. Because I knew God's word, I knew the Bible, and it didn't square up with what God says. And that's when I realized I'm getting bad information. Because I knew I stood on the one principle, God's word trumps everybody else's word. And it was disappointing at the same time because, you know, there were some people within the church that I liked and still like, but made me realize that man, even the church, the preachers and pastors, we're all faulty. And we can only speak from those things that we've experienced. And a lot of times if we experience things that don't work, we start building false doctrine on our experiences instead of letting God's word mold us and shape us, our thoughts, our ideas, our thinking, and our words and our hearts. So we are daily renewed by the word of God, not daily renewed by the mistakes and faulty experiences that we or preachers or others have had. See what I'm saying? You see the difference there? A lot of people disbelieve certain promises in the Bible because they've never seen it or experienced it for themselves. The reason why I can stand here and say some of the things that I'm saying with such boldness is because I have read enough testimonials, hundreds of testimonials of restored marriages, where for me it went from just a hope and a belief to where it sank in my heart to a knowing. Like, I know my wife is coming home. I know she's going to come home. What I don't know is the day and the hour, and what I don't know is how God's going to do it. But if I search Genesis through Revelation, God loves doing the impossible at unusual times and in unusual ways. So I don't have to figure that out. Just because I don't know how he's going to do it doesn't mean he's not going to do it. And it's not a reason for me to doubt. And just because I don't know when he's going to do it doesn't mean that yesterday's promise is tomorrow's is today's hope and tomorrow's maybe. And then the day after that is, well, I'm not sure anymore. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said it yesterday, it will still be true in 1,000 years from now. When God went and told Noah to build the ark, it took Noah 100 years to build it. He had to wait 100 years. Was God's word to Noah any less true on year 99? No, it wasn't. It was just as powerful and true as day one. So, and some of you might be saying, well, I'm not sure if God spoke to me. You've got a Bible? Let's look and see what God says about it. Because if you have a Bible and you're reading it, God's speaking to you. Because every word in there is from God. God's mouth to your ears, your heart. My ears are hearts. Let me start with what God says to men and to husbands. And I'm going to start out with a couple of fundamental things. Genesis 2:18. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And I'm going to pause there before I go any further. Let me look. I want to, and again, remember, this tonight is about focusing on the men. So we need to get our head straight of who we are in relationship to God and who our wives are and who they are in relationship to us and who are we in relationship to them. Now, one thing I forgot to mention. Tonight's conference call, I can do this for 3 hours tonight and I would not even cover it all. Tonight's conference call is just like a touching the surface. So it's not exhaustive in any way whatsoever because it's impossible for me to cover it all. And again, I'm not a preacher or pastor. I'm giving you what I know and what the Bible says. So I'm trying to put it together in some kind of a coherent way for us men for tonight's conference call. But let me go back to that. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Helper. Our wives are our helpers. They're not servants. They're not slaves. They're not second-class citizens. They're not anything less than what we are. They're helpers. They're our equal. Let's look at the next word, comparable. Our wives are comparable to us men. I actually looked up the word comparable to get a definition, and all the dictionaries will say exactly the same thing. In this case here, I used Webster's. It's very simple. Comparable means capable of or suitable for comparison, of likeness, of same likeness. Similar, of the same kind of quality, being alike or parallel or matching. So we can look at the verse this way. And the Lord said, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper that's exactly the same like him, similar and alike to him, parallel to him, and matching him in every way possible, in his likeness. Like him. Who? Man. So, in every respect, women, except for physically, women are exactly, are equal. That's important because we, as men, sometimes could go off in this, well, I'm the head of the household and my wife has to obey and listen. And if Jesus did that with us, because he's our heavenly husband, he's our bridegroom, we're his bride. We're getting to some theology here, and some of you understand that, others of you, you could look that up some other time. But we are, the Christian body today is the bride of Jesus Christ. And he's described as our bridegroom. He treats us as a husband treats us, taking care of us and all of our needs, providing for us in many different ways. So that's who our wife is. Genesis 2:18, the very first thing God says is when he makes woman, he immediately establishes who she is in relationship to us. She's our co-equal. On marriage, at the beginning, immediately after God created the woman and the wife, he immediately after that said, Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What I find interesting here is that God put Adam to sleep, took one of his ribs, created woman, and then joined them together in marriage as one flesh. So he separates and then brings back together again. Woman comes from man and then is joined back to man as one flesh in marriage. Okay, so that's who the woman is. The reason why this is important, understanding who she is and who God created them to be, is that it's important for us to understand that so we treat them the way God wants us to treat them. How do we treat our wives? Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And the rest of the verse reads, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. That's for the wife, and that we covered that last week. This week, it's the first part. Let each of you, husbands, love his own wife as himself. We could take that, just that verse, and unpack that and spend 15, 20 minutes on that easily. How do we love ourselves? When we're hungry, we feed ourselves. When we're cold, we, you know, cover ourselves. When we're hurt, we take care of it, we nurse ourselves. Do we do that with our wives? When their feelings, their emotions, their hurt, are we there for them? Do we listen to them? Do we feed them, clothe them? Physically, spiritually, if we were to sit down, us men, and write a list of all the different ways that we love ourselves and take care of ourselves, if we take that list and we inject our wives' names in each one of those things and ask ourselves, do we do these things for our wives? Because that's what we're called to do. That's what it says right here, Ephesians 5:33. You guys, if you have something to write, take notes, write down these scriptures, go, you know, look them up later for yourselves, dwell on those, think about those, you know. This is God's word to you and to me. When I say these things in this conference call, I'm also speaking to my own heart. So it's, you know, I'm no different. And these are things that I have to both learn, practice, and become these things. A word to the husbands, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life that your prayers may not be hindered. This one verse here is such a mouthful. It says so much. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding. Let's pause there. Are we always looking to seek understanding of our wives? I know in my marriage, a lot of times my wife would come and she would tell me about her day at work. She would tell me about this. She would tell me about that. I wasn't always seeking to understand. If she had a different position or different view on something, I didn't always seek to understand her point of view, her perspective. I was always, not always, but most of it, well, many times, I was in a hurry to share with her my perspective, my views, my opinions on that matter. And I wouldn't give her and her views the same weight as I gave my own, really trying to understand where she's coming from so I could see what she sees, what she thinks, what she feels, what she understands. I heard one preacher say that studying your wife and learning to live with them, according to this verse here, with understanding, is a lifetime project. And I kind of like that because it means that you're constantly engaged with your wife and pursuing her heart and pursuing to understand her and to know her. And that's kind of cool if you look at it that way. Giving honor to your wife. Giving honor to our wife, how we speak to them, how we treat them, how we speak of them to our children, to other people when she's not around. I would rather say good things behind her back than say bad things and have things get back to her. So do we give honor to our wives in our words and in our actions? As to the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, I found this interesting, too, because it says being heirs together of the grace of life. Here, again, when it says being heirs together, that speaks of equality. We're totally equal. Men, women, God created us equal as heirs together to the throne of the grace of life. So, again, it speaks of God put women and our wives on the same footing as us men. So we need to understand that because when we're not treating our wives the way God wants us to, I don't think that makes God pretty happy. But God honors and blesses the husband who treats his wife this way. And then the last part, that your prayers may not be hindered. That's a huge one for us right now as we're standing for our marriages. Because if we're not, if we're striving with our wives, even now as we're standing for our marriage, then what is that doing to our prayers? Lord, bring them back. Lord, bring my wife back. Touch her heart. Turn her heart back towards you. That could be a problem. Well, God told us here that our prayers could be hindered if we're still doing the same things now or worse than prior to having our problems in our marriage. Okay, so the other thing is this. Moving on to a different verse. We men, as the head of the household, we are also called to build our house. Psalm 27 talks about building the house. Unless the Lord builds our house, whatever we do, us men do, to build our house, our marriage, our relationship with our family, keeping our marriage, our family together, our household together, it will all be in vain if we don't follow God's word on how to do that. This is important. Psalm 127, believe it or not, it only has five verses. I'm going to read that just for the sake of this conference call so we're on the same page. Unless the Lord builds this house, we labor in vain who try to build it. Talk about our house, our marriages, our families, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so God gives his beloved sleep. So we need to rebuild our marriage and our family on God's principles, because if we don't, we're going to have the same problems coming up again. And the only way we can guard our house against our enemy's attacks on our wives, marriages, children, family, home. Let me finish this real quick. A couple more verses. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So that right there encompasses our entire household. Men, we're responsible. We are responsible for keeping it together. I know in our situation right now, us men, and standing for our wives, and if I asked 10 of you men what your scenario looks like, I'm going to get 10 different scenarios in response, because each one is going to be unique from one from the other. Some of us have children, others of us maybe don't. Some of us have children still at home, others have children that, you know, gone off to college. I have children at home. When I'm with my children, I do my best to be the godly man and the godly father that God tells me to be. I try to give my wife honor in all the things that I say and do in reference to my wife, our marriage, things that she says and does. I try to honor her in front of the kids. I try to do that. I will not let my kids badmouth my wife, their mother, in front of me or around me. I try to teach them God's word, try to teach them what's going on, the spiritual warfare in our marriage right now, so they, like me, would have compassion over their mother, and instead of bad-mouthing her because they're angry, they're upset, they don't like what she's doing, they, you know, whatever it might be, instead of whining and complaining, they could pray for her because they understand and have compassion of what's going on in her life. And that's a big difference. If we could connect with our children's hearts to help them understand biblically what's going on with our wives, for women who are listening now, for your husbands, if we can get our children to understand the spiritual warfare and they can grasp it, they will have a compassion for our prodigal spouses, and they will join us in prayer, and they will, and their hearts would be sincere in their prayers, in that effort. And then most of our work will be done, instead of constantly correcting our kids to not say this and that about, you know, our wives, you know, things they're saying, things they're doing, uncovering their nakedness, whatever might be going on. Instead of that, now we've taught our children what God says. We've taught our children of what's really going on, the spiritual warfare, and this will serve them in their future too. But at the same time, now they've become prayer warriors with us, and they're praying and standing with us. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to do that. So that's one thing that we want to do. But as husbands, as fathers, we're also called to do that. We're also ministers in our own home. In their scripture, you can look that up, and it's in the Bible. We are ministers in our own home. Okay. We need to also understand that all good gifts are from our Father. Our wives are a gift to us. Our marriage is a gift to us. Our children's a gift to us. All of them are gifts from God to us. So us as men, we need to be grateful to God for blessing us with the wives that we have. And I use the present tense, we have. I don't care where my wife is right now, where your wife is right now. I don't care whether the piece of paper was issued from the court or not. In God's eyes, she is still your wife and my wife. Our wives are still ours. Because God said it. Remember, God's word trumps man's word. We need to cover them also, again, honoring our wives. We need to cover them, not expose them. Their guilt, their shame. They already have guilt and shame of their own, what they're doing. The Holy Spirit's working. If we're praying for them, the Holy Spirit's working on them. We don't need to add and compound their guilt and shame by exposing what they're doing, what they're saying to our children, to friends, family, to anyone. The only place where that belongs, if you've got a complaint about your spouse, in your prayer closet, you and the Lord. Because sometimes the Lord will change your heart, your perspective, your view on the matter. But certainly not exposing it. I think Charlene talks about this as well. Bob and Charlene mentioned this in one or more of their books, where if Charlene were to broadcast everything that Bob was doing, Bob says it would have been more challenging for him to come home, because then he would be confronted with the onslaught of everything he did, the affairs that he had, the women he was with, all the things he did, you know, in his face when he came back with friends, family, neighbors, people at church. And we see it on the prayer wall. We see it on the prayer wall. Guys, don't do that. Don't do that. We don't need to hear what the spouse is doing. It serves no purpose other than our enemies jumping up and down, laughing and reveling in it. Our enemies enjoying it. It's a score for one. It's an advertisement for our enemy. It really is. Look what our enemy's doing. But I want to know what God's doing. Because God does a lot more than our enemy does, day in and day out. And God always wins. So, okay, for us men, when you go to a football game, baseball game, whatever game, you go to a game, do you really care what the losing team is doing? Or do you want to know who the victor is? If we know who the winner is of the Super Bowl, we're not going to go back and revisit previous games where all the losing teams who never made it to the Super Bowl, what their mistakes were, what their small victories were along the way. Who cares what their small victories are along the way? If we already know who's going to win the Super Bowl, that's who we're focusing our attention on. We want to know who the players are, what they did, how they practiced, what they did day in and day out, what their diet was. Don't we want, in a very similar way, don't we want to pull out the Bible knowing that God is the winner day in and day out? If we know that God won at the cross through Jesus Christ's life and death, crucifixion, death on the cross, resurrection, and he won the battle with our enemy, and he gave us all that same power to walk in that same victory. If we're walking and standing and walking in that victory that Jesus gave us from the cross, shouldn't we be focused on what God says, what Jesus did, how Jesus did it, Jesus' character, his nature, the words that Jesus used, how Jesus loved everybody, how Jesus loves even now the church, his bride, how he treats us? Not one of us came to Jesus Christ and turned our lives over to Jesus Christ without Jesus Christ pursuing us in love. In love first. This is a scripture, I didn't write it down anywhere. We love him because he first loved us. It is impossible for any one of us, for any human, to love God without first seeing and understanding and knowing God's love for us first. Only because we acknowledge God's love for us, then we turn around and love God in return and Jesus Christ. So as men, we need to love our wives unconditionally in such a way when they see our love and they experience our love, God designed women to respond to our love. When they see our love, when they see it consistently, when they see it in the face of them throwing words at us, when we love them consistently in spite of their actions against us, there will come a day when the scales are removed from their eyes and they're going to see, oh my goodness, my husband, whom I left, had affairs, divorced him, did this, did that, said this, said that, all of these things I did to my husband, and yet he replied in love each and every single time. The day will come when God will remove the scales off their eyes. And when he does that, they're going to look and they're going to see, was my husband standing and loving me unconditionally? Because if our wives don't see our unconditional love, I'm sorry to say this, but sometimes they're going to want to run towards a man who's going to give them that love, whether it's real, whether it's fake, whether it's from Satan, whole different story. But the point is, women are designed to respond to love. And if we don't give them that unconditional love now during our stand, when that time comes that the scales are removed from their eyes, God brings them to their senses, brings them back from the land of captivity, the man who's been standing unconditionally loving them is the man they're going to run to time and time again. That happens. I've read enough testimonials of men standing for their marriages that I've seen it happen. I'll tell you a brief story real quick. There's a testimonial of a man who's standing for his husband. Man standing for his marriage, his wife. He's standing for his wife. And she moved out, and she moved in. I'm recalling this from 2 years ago when I read this testimonial, so bear with me. She moves out, leaves him, moves in with another man that she's having an affair with. And I'm not sure if divorce was part of it or not. The standing husband, the opportunity came up. Now, the man that the other man had a kid, I think, from a previous relationship. The opportunity came up where, and this is going to be extremely bizarre, but his wife and the other man would go out on dates every now and then. They didn't have a babysitter. So the husband, who was standing for his marriage and for his wife, would volunteer to his own wife to babysit for this other man's kid while his wife and this other man went out on a date. I'm not making this up. It's impossible for me to make this up. It's a testimonial I read. If I can dig it up somewhere, I would post it. I have a lot of these testimonials, and they come to memory. But this one's bizarre, and I just came to mind because it's a man standing. He did this over and over again. Now, at first, his wife was leery, like, okay, do you have any ulterior motives in doing this? And he assured her, no, I just want to be there to help you. So he would babysit. At first, it started with babysitting for his wife going out with the other man. Then while he was babysitting, he ended up cleaning and tidying up the house while he was babysitting. So that became part of his babysitting. And then he would start cooking meals for his wife in the place where she was living with the other man. And after some period of time, maybe about a year or so, guess what happened? God was answering his prayers and started bringing division between his wife and the other man's relationship. So as that relationship started to deteriorate, she naturally started turning back towards her own husband and was treating him like her confidant. Would confide this and confide that and speak to him. And I'm sure this must have been excruciatingly painful for the standing husband. But you know what? He sucked it up and was being the epitome of the unconditionally loving husband by doing all of this. And over a period of a short time, like a year and a half later, she finally broke up with the other man. And when she realized what her own husband did during that relationship, relationship she had with the other man, her own husband was standing there, was babysitting for them, was taking care of her, and just loving on her no matter what, being really nice and respectful to the other man, definitely saying, I don't approve of this, but I'm going to help you. If you need help, I'm here to help you. He was not being a doormat. He was not being a schmuck. He was not being all those other, you know, words that us men hear from women who are like, you're whipped and you're that. And you know what? He was doing what God told him to do. Flat out, it doesn't matter. He was, I don't care. This is my wife. I'm going to obey God, not man. About 6 months after she broke off the relationship with the other man, and she was now spending more time with her own husband, about another 6 months after that, the two of them restored their marriage. And that was it. It was over. Their marriage was restored. I don't remember if they went through a divorce and then remarried, or their marriage was just restored, but you know, they never were divorced. They were just separated. I don't know. But true story, true testimonial. I'm not in that situation, and I don't know of any other man who is, but that's an example of a man really standing for his marriage against everything, against his own feelings and his own emotions. And God did that. That's what our stand should look like. And that's pretty amazing. I don't know if I'd be able to do what that man did, but you know what? God gives us, here's what I do know. God gives each of us grace for whatever God allows in our circumstance. So the bigger the challenges, the more grace God gives us. And that's an amazing testimony. So that just came to mind. I didn't plan on sharing that, but there we are. Love covers a multitude of sins. And I know I have this verse here somewhere, but I know I have it. I'll probably come up to it again. Here's another thing, real quick, and I know I'm really running out of time, and wow, 10:20 again. Time always escapes me. Sorry, Lisa. Apologize in advance. One of my favorite books of the Bible in standing as a husband is the book of Hosea. For those of you who have read it, you know where I'm going with this. For those of you who haven't read it, I'd strongly recommend this weekend when you have some time, sit down and read it. Read the book of Hosea in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Hosea was, I think, what they refer to him as a minor prophet. Hosea was called by God to go and find, and again, this is for those of you who have never read the story, it's a little bit shocking. God told Hosea to go and find this one very specific woman who was a prostitute and marry her. And I know some of us scratching our heads reading that for the first time, saying, what? He wanted him to go marry this woman who was a prostitute? Yes, he did. So long story short, he goes, he finds this woman that God told him to find, finds her, marries her. They have, two children. And then after their second child, at some point, she runs off, leaves him, runs off to be with other men, returns to being a prostitute. And then after some time has passed, God told Hosea, okay, go get your wife now. So when God told Hosea to go get his wife, he found her in a very, very bad condition. He found her, nobody wanted her anymore. She was used and thrown out. And she was actually being sold into slavery when he went to find her. I could spend an hour just talking about the insight and the parallels in that story compared to our stories as standing men for our wives and our marriages, all the things we can glean from that. he had to go and buy her, by the way, when she's being sold into slavery. He actually paid a lot of money to get her back. For me, that tells me that we have to pay a price for restoring our wives to ourselves. There's a price. That price could be different for each one of us. Some, you know, but he paid price. Brought her back, washed her, cleaned her, and dressed her in fine linen, and restored her to himself. That story of what Hosea did with his wife is similar to what God did with the Israelites in the Old Testament, where they, I think it was over seven times, they would run towards worldly gods, false idols, and ignore God. And then when they found themselves like the prodigal son, when they found themselves in a pig pen, then they would cry out to the Lord, Lord, save us, save us, save us. And the Lord would, in his love and compassion for them, would go and bring them out of their misery and save them. And then after a period of time, they would rebel again and go back to the world and, you know, false gods and false idols. And it happened, you know, more than seven times in the Old Testament. Well, we're, as husbands, that's the way we're supposed to be with our wives. We can't do that if we're uncovering their shame and exposing the things that they're doing. We have to cover them. Like Noah, when his two of his sons walked back into a town after the flood, and he's the only one there. He got drunk. He's laying uncovered in his own tent. Two of the sons walked backward with a cover and cover him. We're supposed to do that with our wives, cover their shame, their guilt, their sin. Okay. There's a lot there. I could spend a lot more time on Hosea, but let me cover a few things here. I'm running out of time. Let me cover a couple of other points here that I could go into more detail, but I don't have time now. Are we angry men? One of the challenges we have as husbands is that we forget very easily our strength, our power, the potential of intimidation we have as just being men. I have three girls, and they're teenagers. And every now and then, something will happen in my conversation with them where it reminds me that the smallest thing that I say to them with the wrong tone, and the tone could be just slightly off, to me, it seems like it's nothing, but to them, it's like a huge boulder just landing on top of them. My words, as a man, as their father, literally can destroy them. And that's the way our words are with our wives. Now imagine if we come at our wives or our children with anger. So our words come from anger, our actions come from anger, our attitudes come from a point of anger, and we allow that, we unleash that anger out at them. I can't imagine the fear and intimidation our wives must feel sometimes when we are that way with them. Are we angry men? Are we angry husbands? Are we angry fathers? We need to check ourselves on that. We really do. And we need to check because when we get angry, even if we don't allow our anger to come out, even if our tone is slightly off, I did that tonight with my girls, I'll confess. One of my girls did something, and I was just trying to figure out which one of them did it, because if you have kids, you're familiar with the, who did this? I didn't. So all the kids, none of them did it. But somehow, miraculously, something happened. Like, well, that's impossible. So I got upset. I wasn't angry. I got upset. And I'm thinking, come on, guys, we're not going to do this again, right? Like, somebody did it. And that was my tone. And with that, when my daughter's response will, well, I don't want to say anything because I see you're already angry. So I don't want you to get angry at me. It's like, man, you know, I just opened my mouth and shoved my foot in it. our words to our wives and to our children, wow, they're incredibly powerful. That leads me to, I don't want to jump to the end here, but I have to because we're running out of time. We're on an hour now. That leads me to the verse that we try to repeat every single conference call is, and I don't have where it is here in the Bible, but we know this verse. The power of life and death is in our tongue, is in our mouth, and it's in our tongue. And for us men especially, especially us men, right now as we're standing for our wives and our marriages, the weight and the power of our words mean everything. Our wives have to see. Our wives have to see consistency day in and day out. Not just every day, our consistency in loving them and unconditionally loving them. They need to see consistency in our attitude of unconditional love toward them, even when they say or do things contrary to us, against our marriage. They need to see that consistency and of unconditional love even when they're with another person. They flaunt it in our face or we accidentally see it or whatever the case might be. Because it starts with that. And I, in last week's conference call, I mentioned 1 Corinthians 13. If God tells, let me put two of these together. I think the great majority of all of our problems as godly men, godly husbands, and godly fathers, the majority of our problems can be resolved. Our problems. Not problems that we have because of other people. The issues that we personally have inside of us, I believe that the vast majority of our issues would be resolved if we took 1 Corinthians 13, unconditional love, took each one of those items, and we unconditionally loved our wives, our children, and everyone around us in that way. Constantly, day in and day out. Where we're constantly loving, constantly forgiving, constantly giving grace, mercy, and forgiveness, just as God gives us. And practicing those things in our hearts and our lives towards wives, children, and everyone else. And we don't have to worry then about the words coming out of our mouth because we're practicing unconditional love. If we have that in our heart, then out of the abundance of our heart speaks our mouth, our words come out. And then now we have the power of love, forgiveness, restoration, reconciliation towards our wives, children, our family, and everyone else. So I'm going to end it here, and I have more to say, but I can't because we're over an hour now. God gave us in the Bible 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have the ministry of reconciliation, not only of our wives back to us, ourselves in our marriage, but also our wives to God above, where we are to shepherd our wives and our children to God. We're supposed to be a reflection of Jesus Christ and the church. We are the same to our wives and our children. And that's what we should be. Real quick, a couple things, quick. And there's more, but I don't have time for more. Quick don'ts in standing for our marriages, men. These apply to women too, but I'm talking to you, to us men now. Don't chase, follow, monitor your wife's action, period. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Hosea, in the book of Hosea, he didn't run after his wife to see what she's doing, where she is, what's going on. He left her alone. He didn't, you know, go find a town crier to find out what's the latest, you know, social media information on his wife. He didn't do that. He left her alone. Don't argue with your wife. Take every opportunity to take everything to the Lord in prayer. So many verses on that, like seek peace, God blesses the peacemakers, etc. Don't argue with the wife. Don't talk negatively about your wife to anyone, especially your children. And again, always, always, always speak life towards your marriage, towards your wife, towards your restoration, your family, your children. Speak life. Again, speak life. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Don't confront her. Don't confront your wife. If you think, if you know she's involved with somebody else, do not confront her. Do not confront the other man, period. There's reasons for that. I don't have time to go into it now. Do not confront the other man. Do not confront the wife about the other man. And even if you suspect that your wife might be involved with someone else, don't do it. Because what if you're wrong? Then that will really do a great deal of damage. Because now you're wrongly and falsely accusing your wife of doing something like that. And that's insulting and insulting and degrading to her. Not every wife is having an affair. So if you accuse her of having one and she's really not, what are you saying of your wife who's actually being virtuous? So that's even a worse situation. So don't do it at all. Pray, leave it at that. Okay, I think I'm done. I want to share one more thing in closing. This is from Charlene's post this last Sunday for Father's Day. And this touched me, and I want to share this with all of us men here. This is Charlene asking in her post, will you do me a favor, she says, will you stay in contact with us, RMM? Historically, men who are standing are quiet. We don't hear from you, but we want to offer you the same encouragement and support that we give the women. This is Charlene saying this. The other men who are standing need to see your testimonies. The small victories that God's giving you, share them on prayer wall. You see mine on the prayer wall all the time. You see me posting, you know, this Father's Day, my wife came over and then we went out to lunch. She bought lunch. It was great. I mean, God's working. God's bringing my wife back home, and I see it happening now. Now, I won't see the suddenly because it's going to be a suddenly, and it will suddenly happen. That's why I call it suddenly. But I see breadcrumbs along the way. And as often as I get breadcrumbs and God gives me little victories here and there, I share them with you all because I want you to see the good things God's doing. God does more good things than Satan does bad things. Let me put it that way. We kept the scoreboard. God's ahead by miles and miles and miles. All right? But what we tend to see on the prayer wall is, you know, what Satan's doing, what Satan's doing, what Satan's doing. And that bugs me. I'll leave it at that. So, Charlene says, we need to see your little victories along the way. So she, Charlene, and the RMM team wants to pray with us men, encourage us, just like they do with the women. So I want to share that with you men. I want to encourage you that wherever you are in your stand, wherever you are in your relationship with God and Jesus Christ, come boldly and start doing some of these things that God might be calling you to do. And I don't know what he's calling you to do. Speak up more. Pray more. Get more involved in encouragement on the prayer wall. God's calling you to do something. He's moving in one direction. Do that. God called me to be encouraging on the prayer wall, and I do that to the best of my ability as God directs me, you know, say this, say that, whatever. This SOS team, Lisa approached me with this, 4 months ago now. And sure, let's do it. God told me to do the praisereports.org website. You know what? I'm one guy, but I'm doing what God's calling me to do. It's not perfect. It's going to be messy. I'm going to make mistakes along the way. But if you'll notice, what I notice is I might make mistakes and might have setbacks here and there, but my constant motion is always in an upward direction where God wants me to go. So I'm headed in that same direction. God's calling all of us men. He called us mighty warriors. At some point, we need to make a stand, make a decision, are we standing? And if we're standing, what does that look like? Well, God tells us in the Bible what it looks like. And then when we, as we discover the ground, the framework, the fundamentals that God calls us men, as godly men, godly husbands, godly fathers, to stand and stand for our marriages, stand as prayer warriors, to pray constantly, covering our wives, our children, praying for our households. I love Job. Job got up in the morning, every morning, and prayed for his family, prayed for his children. He prayed for his children every single morning just in case they forgot to pray. That's amazing. Godly man. Somebody once told me that if a godly woman is Proverbs 31, then a godly man, it resembles Job 29. Write this down, guys. Go read Job 29. Job 29 is where Job imagines if only things could go back to the way that they were, and he recounts where he would go, what his day would look like, taking care of the widows and the orphans and feeding them and clothing those that he would go and he would take care of, and he would sit himself at the gate, a place of prominence where people would come and listen to him because he spoke God's word and God's truth, and he was respected, and he spoke, you know, because he spoke God's word and knew God's word, he spoke wisdom given to him by God. I mean, go read Job 29. That's a godly man. I mean, I found that. Someone put that to me a year ago or so, and I've gone back and read that several times. If we have an aspiration of what a godly man looks like, that's what a godly man looks like. His wife respects him, loves him. That's amazing. God has given us everything we need as men to be mighty warriors, because that's the way God sees us. He's given us all the tools. He's given us the strength of character where we literally could take our feelings, emotions, and put them aside and say, I'm going to stand on God's word no matter what it takes. I'm going to stand by my wife no matter what it takes. I'm going to stand by my children no matter what it takes. I don't care that my wife is doing this or doing that, saying this or saying that. She's my wife. God for me is number one, because that's, you know, going back to who's our first love? I'm sorry, our first love is not our wife. Our first love is God and Jesus Christ. If they really are our first love, then we, and that's in our hearts, then everything we say and do comes from that place. So as we become godly men, the godly husband follows, the godly father follows, the godly businessman follows. All of those things follow being the godly man first. That's why God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will come to you. It's an automatic process. If we make God first, he's our first love, we seek his kingdom first, and make him first in everything of our lives. If we seek him with all of our lives, with everything we've got, and he's number one in our lives, our wives become second. We're no longer crying about what they're doing, crying and complaining. Well, she's off again on another date. She's doing that testimonial that I gave you earlier of that man who was sitting for his wife and his marriage, and he would babysit for her and take care of the. That's a godly man, where he said, I don't care what my wife's doing. I'm standing on what God said. I'm going to be the godly man and the godly husband. And when God's ready, he's going to bring my wife back home. And man, did he ever bring that man's wife back home. And man, you're going to hear that same, a similar testimony, not similar. You're going to hear a testimony of a godly man standing on scripture, and God brought his wife back home this Saturday morning. You're going to hear that. And again, Patrick is in Perth, Australia, so he's going to be giving his testimony with us on our conference call. It's going to be 9:30 at night his time, so he's going to be losing sleep doing conference call with us at 9:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, this Saturday in 2 days, this Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Men, you got to be there. Women, you're more than welcome too. I mean, we can pile on into the conference call and, you know, everyone be there. Okay. I'm sorry, we're at over an hour. I'm going to open up to questions, answers, discussions, feedback. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, you know, I suck if I said some things that made you mad or angry. You know, that's fine. You know what? Tell me everything. Tell me. It's open floor. Go ahead.
Anybody?
Anybody. Men, women, anyone. It is a quiet night tonight.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Lisa,
Chris,
Sophia,
thank
you. You guys are still here with us, right? Anybody? Questions, comments, feedback?
It was great. Thank you.
Okay. I guess, well, let me ask this then. If there's no feedback, then I guess we could close out in prayer, and then that'll be the end of the conference call. Are there any men on the conference call who would close this out in prayer besides me? Well, now it's an opportunity. Take that bold step of faith and pray for it. Let me ask, are there any women on this conference call who have any comments, feedback, comments, questions, anything?
Chris, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know how you know that you're getting a calling from God, like from, you know, being encouraging on the prayer wall and starting all these, you know, these things online. How do we know what our calling is supposed to be?
Good question.
Like, how do you do that besides prayer?
For me, a little over a year ago, I'm listening to a sermon, and as I'm listening to a sermon, it's a YouTube sermon, I knew that I needed encouragement, and I came across the verse in the Bible where it says that whatever you need, give it away, and it will be and I'm not sure how it's phrased, and it will be given back to you, pressed down and doubled and something like that. I'm not sure what the verse is, but it will be given back to you several times as much as what you give away. So I felt in my heart that this is one thing that I needed. So in order for me to be encouraged by God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, I needed to become encouragement and give it away. And when you are down to your last bit of hope or faith or encouragement, take whatever bit you have left and give it away. Because God will see what you're doing and give it back to you many times over. And it's a basic biblical principle. It's like tithing. When you give tithing, God does the same in return. So I started then, I made a decision and I resolved within myself that I'm going to be encouraging and only, again, the power of the tongue, right? Only speak life about my wife, my marriage, my family, my restoration. Only speak that way positively going forward, and that's how I started doing what I was doing, what I am doing. So it was something, so it was two things. It was something that I felt in combination with Scripture that confirmed what I felt in my heart. So when I brought those two together, I concluded that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and what he was saying was confirmed by Scripture. So, because Scripture is always going to stand as truth, no matter what. The Holy Spirit will always confirm Scripture. The Holy Spirit will never tell us to do or say something that is contrary to Scripture, period. If we ever encounter something that's contrary to Scripture, it's not of the Holy Spirit. It's of Satan or one of his demons, period. So that's what I did. If I brought those together with Scripture, and I said, this is what I'm going to do, because I need this, and this is what the Bible says. If I do this, then he's going to give me more. And that's what happened. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Chris.
Sure, go ahead.
I see quite a bit of it on the prayer wall too, so I figured I'd throw it out at you and just get your opinion. But I guess one thing that I see is a constant struggle, and even for myself, is the ability to be productive and focus on God and not focus on her coming home or what she's doing. And I guess my question is, how did you go about that? You hear mentioned over and over about letting go and letting God, but it's obviously easier said than done when you still are standing for them, but at the same time, letting go of the control. So it's a really, I guess, it's a process. It's definitely a process, a difficult process, but learning how to do that and how to trust God through the whole thing and not be overwhelmed with the day-to-day struggles and fears that the enemy's putting on us and the lies that we're hearing over and over.
It gets easier the more you do it, but you have to do it biblically. For me, it was a combination of a couple of things. God says that we should take each day one at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow what you'll eat and drink. Worry about today, because today has its own worries and stresses and challenges. That's the scripture. Don't worry about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow. God gives us enough grace for today and what we need for today. So what I had to do is I forced myself to take one day at a time. Like, I would wake up in the morning and then just say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to focus on tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I'm just going to focus on today. How do I get through today? Help me to just get through today. And sometimes I would limp through the day. Sometimes I would cripple through the day. Sometimes I would be a mess the entire day. But I'll tell you, though, that it's a combination of taking one day at a time first and focusing on just that day, number one. Number two, draw close to God throughout the day as much as you need to. God's there all the time, 24/7. He's never left our side. But sometimes he allows us to feel his presence more than others. He does that intentionally, and that's reasons why, and that's a different discussion as well. But I stood on scripture. That was one scripture. The other scriptures I stood on is God says that I will keep him in perfect peace whose eyes are stayed on me. So I would try to focus on his promises. He's going to bring her home. His promises, he's going to do it. I stayed in the Word. I read the Word, his promises as much as I could. And another thing that, for me, what made a huge impact was reading testimonial after testimonial after testimonial. And I'm not exaggerating when I say I read hundreds of them. I have. When you've read hundreds of restored marriage testimonials, it gets so deep into your heart that you bridge that divide. Like, I'm hoping to, I know God's bringing her home. And when you get to the place of knowing, you change. You're no longer worried about what she's doing. You're no longer worried about where she is, who she's with. The fiery darts of the enemy have less and less impact. The thoughts and ideas from our enemy, less impact. The things that she says, less impact. The things that she does, less impact. So the more that we become grounded in God's truth and then in crossing that divide of hoping and believing to knowing that God's going to bring her home, knowing that God's going to do this thing. When we get to that place of knowing, our day changes. Our perspective changes. We then no longer look at our spouses. We now look and say, Lord, I know you're going to bring her home. That was yesterday's news. What I want now is I want you now. I want more of you now. I am so hungry for you. I want to know how I can get more of you in my life. She, our wives, our husbands, our marriages, they become backseat. We still pray for them every single day. Trust me, we do. But they're not, our priority is, Lord, I know you're going to bring her home, but I pray for her soul. Touch her. Turn her heart back towards you. I'm concerned about her salvation, her relationship with you. Touch her and bring her back to you. That's my main priority right now between me and my wife. But Lord, I want you. How do I draw closer to you? How do I experience you more? How do I have your kingdom come into my heart and in my life now? How do I seek your kingdom with all my heart, mind, soul, spirit, and body? How do I get that? That really becomes a priority over everything else. So now we're praying for our wives, not praying about them. And last week I mentioned the difference between praying for them and praying about them. Are we, praying for God's will, or are we praying for God to, help us because we just saw our wives do this or do that or say this or say that or, whatever. So there's a difference between those two. So it's, to answer your question, it's a daily process. It's a one day at a time process. It's a one day where you're literally walking with the Lord, and you have to walk with the Lord because the Lord's going to reveal himself to you, to me, in different ways based on your character and personality, my character and personality, because God made each of us different and unique. So your shortcomings are different from my shortcomings. Your weaknesses could be my strength. My weaknesses could be your strength. So it depends on, our character and makeup. But God's going to meet us at those points where we need him. So whatever our weaknesses are, whatever our fears are, worries and concerns, when we take those to the Lord, day by day, letting him build us up, he's going to address each and every single one of those in his own way, in the way that we understand him. His truth is the same for all of us, though. And it's really a one day at a time process. But we have to make the concerted effort every single day to draw close to him, spend time with him, Bible open, reading and prayer, and talk to him. Talk to him like as plainly as I'm talking to you guys right now. It's just you and him. In private.
Mm-hmm.
Just you and him. Nobody's hearing you, so you don't have to put on a fake show. You don't have to use words, biblical words, terminology. You don't have to use, theology. You don't have to be, you're his son. Now speaking to the men. We're already his son. Through Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian today, we are already clothed in righteousness. We're already made holy, righteous, and above reproach. He sees us dressed in the blood of Jesus Christ in white clothing, perfect. He sees us perfect. Not that we're perfect because we're still in the flesh, but he sees us through Jesus Christ as perfect, holy, righteous, and above reproach. So as sons, we come boldly before the throne as sons, not beggars. Because the beggar's prayer really is the one who's praying out of disbelief, out of fear, out of worry, out of anxiousness. Mm-hmm. Don't be anxious for anything. But in all prayer and supplication, come to the Lord. Because the Lord knows our needs before we even tell him. So we put that together. Now we start to understand who we are as sons of God, sons and daughters. I'm speaking to the men. Who we are sons. We're already, God's waiting for us. God's waiting for us to come talk to him. And he will, Jeremiah 33:3, if we call out to the Lord, he will answer us and show us great and mighty things which we don't know. The Holy Spirit will take the word from the Bible, and he'll not only plant it in our hearts as we read, but then he'll make certain verses stand out where those words and those verses dance around in our hearts and our minds, and it becomes our rhema words where it's like, oh my goodness. Last night, two nights ago, I was listening to a sermon and on YouTube, and the guy who was given a testimony, the preacher was given a testimony about something, and he mentioned the word suddenly. And as soon as he mentioned the word suddenly, I immediately jumped up from my chair and I'm saying, oh my goodness! And I feel the Holy Spirit speaking so strongly to me that when he said that word suddenly, it was the Holy Spirit taking that and the way it resonated in my ears and my heart, it resonated in such a way where it's like I stood up and took notice. I paused the sermon and I started praying. And as I was praying, the Holy Spirit was ministering to me. The Holy Spirit took that word suddenly and brought it together with other things he spoke to me just a few days prior to that in last week. So for me, the Holy Spirit has been, you know, God speaking to me last week, a few days ago, 2 days ago, yesterday. I mean, so God, as we're listening to sermons, listening to Christian songs, mm-hmm. reading the Word, reading devotionals from, you know, Charlene or whomever, wherever we go, when we're asking God to speak to us and we're seeking God, see, because if we're asking God for things and we're praying but we're not seeking him, then we're not looking for the answers, but God's speaking to us all the time. And if we're not receiving God's answers, maybe we're not looking. Maybe we're not listening. I guarantee you I'm not hearing God if I'm putting on music, it's in worldly music, and I'm not cracking open my Bible, I'm not reading devotionals, I'm not maybe listening to a sermon, I'm not listening to Christian music. Where's God speaking? He's speaking, but I'm not listening because I'm not tuned in. We can't ask, God can do the impossible, but we have to co-partner with him. We have to come alongside him and say, okay, Lord, you're the potter and I'm the clay. Charlene, I think, mentioned this this week in one of her devotionals. We have to obey. Like, if God's saying, hey, I want to restore your marriage, but you're not doing anything, how am I going to do that? If I mentioned this last week too, God's speaking to each and every single one of us. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. So it means that daily we need to ask, seek, and knock. If we're not asking God, if we're not seeking God, if we're not knocking on heaven's door constantly, like the widow going before the unjust judge, and repeatedly saying, when will you give me justice? When will you give me justice? And the unjust judge gives her justice. Not because he fears God or man, but because he was tired of the woman, and he didn't want his reputation to be destroyed. God's the same way. How much more will we, being sons and daughters of God, ask for a loaf of bread and get a stone? Ask for a fish and he'll give us a snake. Jesus says he won't do that. But we have to seek, ask, and knock. We have to obey. Trust God, obey God. Know God's word, believe God's word, obey him when he tells us to do stuff. It's like when we first met our wives before we got married, there are things we have to do. We pursued them. We romanced them. We did things. We did this. God wants us to romance our wives again. But if we're going to sit around saying, well, I'm not going to romance her, I'm not going to unconditionally love her, God brought you and your wife together at the very beginning because you did things. You took action of love towards your wife. She fell in love with you. That's how why she married you to begin with. So think of what you did back then. You took action. You did things. We can't sit around now and saying, well, I'm praying for her, but I'm not going to unconditionally love her. Love is a verb. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. Verbs are action words. Unconditionally loving your wife, my wife, unconditionally loving our spouses, it means that we take action toward them. What kind? Well, 1 Corinthians 13. That's the kind of action we take toward our wives. According to 1 Corinthians 13, actions of love. We have to be proactive in doing that. When God presents the opportunity. Okay, so I'm going to share with you, since we're on the call here. This week is my week with the kids. My wife, long story short, asked me Sunday or Monday, she asked me, can I sometime this week take the girls out for dinner? It's my week with the girls because we have this week on, week off with the girls. And so she asked me in text. So I replied back like, well, you've got them all next week. And she says, yeah, I know. She says, but I said, well, that's unusual. Before she explained to me why, I told her, okay, it's unusual, but sure, but which night would you like to come and take them out for dinner? And then she replied back, only because I missed them. And I replied back in text, I understand. Sure, just let me know which night. Now, I could have been a jerk of a husband, and I could have sat here and said, well, you know what? We're in this situation because you got us here. We're here in this situation because you did this. You moved out, you filed for divorce, we have this arrangement, blah, blah, blah. And the list goes on of all the things that she said and did. And I could have sat here and in my own mind said, no way. No way in hell are you going to. No, you know what? You have your week. Make the most of your week. Suck it up like the rest of us and deal with it because we're here in this predicament because you got us here. I could have done all of that, and you know what? In man's eyes, I would have been fully justified. That's right. It serves her right. You're right, Chris. You tell her. You show her. You show her who's boss. You tell her who she's at work. She's wrong, and she. I said, okay, what night you want? And so she did that last night. She came over, picked up the kids, took them out, brought them back. I opened the garage door like I always do, rolled out the red carpet, come on over, take him. I didn't expect anything back from her. Sometime today around noon, she sends me a text, a really nice text, thanking me for the opportunity to do what she did last night, take them out for during my week with the girls, take them out. Guys, there are many instances where she reaches out for me to help her. Help her with this, help her with that, do this, do that, do this. During her week, she asks me for help. With her week with the kids, do this, do that, whatever. There are a number of things I do. I whatever I can do, absolutely, I'm there. I'm not a doormat. I'm not whipped. You know what I am? I am that loving husband who's covering his wife, standing by his wife, standing by my marriage vows, because I remember them, because I took them seriously. They weren't just words. Through thick and thin, through health, sickness and health, through good times and bad times. You know what? Guess what? In our season of marriage right now, this is a bad time. And I'm going to stand by my wife during bad times.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, we had Deanne give her testimony of her restored marriage, and I remember very, very specifically the moment in her restored marriage testimony where she said that, when she said those words to her husband, he replied back to her with the words, do you know what hell you put me through? Now, I heard that testimony, her testimonial from on the RMM website, I think like maybe 8, 9, 10 months ago. I listened to it again before the conference call, and I heard her say it again in the conference call. What's interesting is that when my wife, before she moved out, I had with her, I told her these words. I said, I would go to hell and back for you. That's how much I love you. Before she moved out. Men, I will tell you that in the last 2 years, mm-hmm. I feel like I have gone to hell and back for her.
Mm-hmm.
Standing for my marriage, standing in opposition to the divorce, fighting against it, standing, going to court, going to mediation, going to the guardian that was appointed to, you know, to our case, having to be interviewed by the guardian. The guardian was a woman. She was extremely biased. She was against me. She said things against me. All that junk that I feel like I've gone to hell and back. for my wife. And yet on the other side of all of that junk, I'm standing here telling you I love my wife, and I do not think or reflect back on all the stuff that she said or did, because that's in the past. God's doing a new thing. I am in a new marriage now, a new marriage, and it's one based on God's word, and it's based on 1 Corinthians 13. I refuse to give any weight, any merit, any attention to anything she said or done in the past. I don't care. When she comes and asks me for this, that, whatever, absolutely. What else can I do? What, in my own way, I'm like the man in the testimonial I gave you tonight in this conference call, where the man standing for his wife went and babysat for the other man's kid, while his wife went out on dates with another man. In my own way, I'm doing what I need to do. As God presents opportunities, I'm standing and saying, okay, Lord, my wife is doing this or saying this or asking for that. Lord, what would you have me say or do in response to this? And then God brings to my memory verses on scripture, this, that, whatever. And I put that into practice. Sometimes it's pushing down certain feelings and emotions that want to, you know, come up and get in the way. I said, nope, I'm not going to do that. God says this, I'm going to do it. That's what we're called to do, guys. Sorry, I totally forgot what the question was. I hope I answered it. And we're again going on to almost 2 hours now. Sorry, guys. If you feel you have to go, that's fine. I understand. Go. I'm willing to take more calls or more questions or comments or feedback. Anyone else?
Well, no. I was just going to say, you no, you answered the question, and also I think one thing I just wanted to add, the Holy Spirit's been burning in my heart is kind of something you touched on maybe 2 weeks ago when you said you had mentioned being ready. You know, you knew you were ready for your wife to come home. And, you know, I've been thinking about that and going back and forth and struggling with it and realizing that God can't bring her home until I'm the man he's created me to be and who he's making and, you know, creating in this process. So it's one of those things where we want him home. We want him home now, but we're not, you know, he can't go against his word. He can't bring her home to someone that I'm not. So I think once you start seeing that the process, you see the truth and you see what he's trying to do. It does give you a clear vision and a picture of what you're striving for.
Yes. And you'll hear that from Patrick again this Saturday morning. You'll hear Patrick. Maybe you'll touch on that, speak about that. But yeah, he'll speak about something very similar to that, where he had to ask God to change things in his heart, in his life.
Right. Awesome. That'll be good.
So that's our prayer, guys, is we pray for our wives, we cover them in prayer, and our children. Don't forget, we pray for our wives and children because we are the head of the household. We're the spiritual leaders in our home. Got to do that. And we pray, and I pray that the Lord, as the Lord forgave me of all my sins, I pray the Lord forgive her as well. Do you remember Jesus' last dying words on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's my prayer for my wife every day.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain prayers that I pray. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ upon all of us every day. I pray by the way, in Hosea, you have the prayer for covering your spouse with a hedge of thorns.
Yep.
So that's the prayer there. Jesus' prayer, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. I also pray the widow seeking justice with the unjust judge. I pray that over my wife every day. So there are certain prayers that I pray every single day. And then however the Holy Spirit will lead me.
Chris, this is Lisa. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Women, we pray for our husbands to become the spiritual leader of the family. Should men also be praying for their wife to become submissive or, yeah, submissive?
Yes, the other one, I'm glad you brought that up, Lisa. The men, we all should be praying for our wives to become the Proverbs 31 wife. And let me also footnote this. No such woman exists. She may have existed at some point, but every woman's going to strive to try to do that. That's between God and Jesus. God, that's between God and your in our wives. It is not our job to hold them accountable to the Proverbs 31 criteria and standard. It isn't. We're not the Holy Spirit to judge, criticize our wives. We're only to love them. Love them. No, just the same, like, wives are not told to hold us up to Job 29 standards, like Job. They're only called to respect us. So they're called to respect us. We're called to love and honor and cherish and cover them. We have a bigger job than the women do, than the wives do. We have a bigger job. But yes, back to Lisa's question and point, men, go read Proverbs 31. And now is the time to read. Now is the time to pray these things over our wives. Pray that they become the Proverbs 31 and those things in them. Those things in Proverbs 31, that our wives become those things. We want to pray for what God wants them to be and what God sees them to be right now. If all we're praying is for God to bring them back home, we're missing a great part of it. God, give her a heart of meekness and obedience to you. Give her a heart of submission to you, Lord. Because if our wives won't submit to God, they won't submit to us. But if they submit to God, then they'll submit to us. So I pray that for my wife too, not out of selfish reasons or purposes, but I know that's what God wants for her and her life, is for her to be that way. So then God could bless her with God's promises. Because there's a lot of promises in the Bible that have conditions. If you do this, I will do that. If you turn from your wicked ways, I will then come back to you and restore you and heal you. If this, then that. If we do this, God will do that. If we don't do that, God's not going to do this. Fulfill the promises. Many believe, but if we don't obey, we'll never see. We'll never see what God really wants to do in our marriage and in our lives. So praying, seeking, submitting ourselves, and then walking out as to the best of our abilities in obedience. We got to pray about those things. Pray for your disbelief. Pray for your doubt. Pray for your disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for your rebelliousness. Pray for and against those things. And pray for the same for your wife. And then pray the Proverbs 31 for your wife. And then pray, you know, Job 29 for yourself as a godly man, husband, and father. And I'm not perfect in all my ways either, guys. I'm learning and I make mistakes. Do I have days where I get, you know, I get discouraged, I get, you know, overwhelmed? Absolutely. And I will tell you, guys and women, guys, I'll tell you something. Even now, I have those moments. And I thank the Lord in those moments, because when I have a day or a period where I feel whatever negative feeling, emotion I'm just overwhelmed by, I know the Lord is calling me to prayer. You know how I know? Because He's allowed that spirit to overwhelm me. And when I get overwhelmed by that negative spirit, I know that my way out is on my knees in prayer before the Lord. Lord, I can't deal with this. I'm overwhelmed by this or that, whatever. And then something miraculous happens, something supernatural happens, is the Holy Spirit comes and reminds me, Hey, Chris, do you remember this verse where God made you this promise? Do you remember where God said he will take care of all your needs? Do you remember where God said this? Do you remember where God said that? And then God will bring, through the Holy Spirit, will bring to my memory those scriptures that then just soothe my heart and my soul, and then I can get back up in the morning and go at it again. Because every day it's a battle. Every day you got to get up and go do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to work. You have to take care of the kids. You have to take care of the house. You have to, you know, manage things with your wife, whatever it is. You have to manage it, according to 1 Corinthians 13, in a godly, biblical fashion. We have to do that. So it's a daily battle. And when you feel overwhelmed, that's God saying, hey, I want to spend some time with you. Come on over. Come to your prayer closet.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, he'll speak stuff to us and say, wow, Lord, you just spoke to me. Because I went back. Yesterday I went back and continued that one YouTube sermon where the guy who was preaching said suddenly. And I went back and listened to it again. And the second time I listened to it, which was the day later, that word fell flat. And I paused. I thought, what's the difference? Mm-hmm. Yesterday when I heard it, or 2 days ago when I heard it, it's like it sprung up in my heart. It was like full of life. And yesterday when I went back and listened to it again, and he came to that word suddenly as he was speaking, it just fell flat. Why? Because 2 days ago, the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me something, and he made that word stand out in such a way where I knew that I knew that I knew he was connecting that with something else last week, and he was saying something to me. And I'm excited because he said something really, really exciting to me, but I can't share with anybody right now. It's for my private speaking, my private word right now. But in 6 months from now, I wrote it down in my journal, and in 6 months from now, I hope to be able to turn around and say, on that day, God said this, and on this date, this happened. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's pretty cool. Not the first time he's done that. But he's taking us from one place to another. So every time we're overwhelmed with whatever, that's God saying, come spend time with me. He's rolling out the red carpet. It's his calling card. Come spend time with me. When we forget to do that, you know what happens? We run around stressed out, worried, feared, doubt, overwhelmed. We stay in that state of mind the rest of the day. If we don't say, hey, wait a minute, I'm being overwhelmed. By what? I need to go spend time with God. And in those times, God's revealing something new, maturing us, growing us, drawing us closer, giving us a greater understanding, a greater knowing of things he's told us. It's a great thing, guys. There are things that become easier, but as certain things get easier, then God wants to give you more and greater and bigger and more challenging. And as he does that, greater things are happening. Don't you know? I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Or we could just choose to sit where we are spiritually and in our relationship with God and Jesus Christ, and we may never see God moving in our hearts, in our lives, in our marriage, and that's it. There are people out there who choose not to move forward. They say they're standing, but they're not walking in that standing for their marriage. They're not walking in obedience to what God wants them to do. And they're still probably standing for their marriages years and years later. There are testimonials out there of husbands and wives who have delayed their own restoration because they did not do what God wanted them to do. God requires action on our part. Praying for our spouses, that's a big part. Every opportunity God presents us to demonstrate and act out unconditional love, that's God expecting us to do, to obey, to follow through. And guys, I will tell you, in some ways, in some respects, it seems like we carry a bigger burden and responsibility on our shoulders as men, as husbands, as wives, as fathers. But God has extra grace for us to do that. He will never expect us to do anything without giving us the grace to do it. The grace, the power, the strength, the motivation, the courage, the boldness. I'm here doing what I'm doing on these conference calls. I have no idea what I'm doing sometimes. Like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Don't worry. When the time comes, I'll give you the right words to speak. Okay? That's from the Bible. Don't worry about what you're going to say. When the time comes, I will put the words in your mouth. Don't prepare, don't plan. We have to stay in the Word. We have to read the Word daily to build ourselves up, to grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ and His Word. And then we draw closer in prayer, relationship. And then we go and we act it out. We do what God calls us to do. Those are the things we have to do daily. It's not going to be perfect every day, but every day we get up and, okay, the Lord's a brand new day. Thanks for your grace and your mercies that are brand new every day. Today's going to be better than yesterday because today I'm going to do better. Today I'm going to walk in more faith, walk in more, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to draw closer to you, Lord, and seek you more. I'm going to do better today, Lord, as you call me to do because you're with me. Nothing's impossible with you. Okay. Guys, any more other questions? Any more? We're on 2 hours now, and I know it's really late for some of you guys. One or two more questions if anyone has one. Nope? Okay. Guys, I'm sorry if at times it seems dry. If at times it seems like I'm preaching, I'm only trying to share with you what I know, what I've experienced, what I've walked through, what I've heard in testimonials. Don't give up on God. Everything you need, you don't need these conference calls, I'm telling you. You don't need these conference calls. You don't need the prayer wall. You don't need all the devotionals. You've got the Bible. That's all you need. You've got more than enough. You've got the Bible. The day your life starts looking like Jesus Christ is the day that you say you surrender everything to the Lord, and you say, your will completely in every area of my life, regardless of what you do and what you don't do, regardless of what it looks like, I'm going to follow you to the death if that's what you call me. The day our lives reflect and look like Jesus Christ, when we say, I take you at your word and yours only. My life is yours, my future is yours, my wife, my marriage, my children, my family, my household, everything I have is yours. You do what you want. I'm devoted to you. I'm putting all my wants, feelings, desires, everything aside. You tell me what you want me to do, and I want to walk in absolute truth of your word. That's it, nothing else. I have heard in more testimonials of marriages being restored instantly when someone's heart was in that place having that kind of a prayer with the Lord saying, I don't care if you never bring my spouse back home. I want you and no one else. You do what you want. And shortly thereafter, your spouse miraculously, suddenly comes home. Satan has nothing else on you. Satan has nothing else on you when you've given everything to God and said, I don't care about anything else. Satan's lost. What can he do? Okay. Guys, I got to close this up in prayer because it's 2 hours. I apologize. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, forgive me if I droned on and I became preaching anyway. Father, I pray that there were some nuggets of gold that those who are listening could get from this. So, Father, I bring every person who's hearing this prayer in this call or this recording later on. Father, touch each of us in our own special way. Touch us so we can hear your word, hear you speaking to us, hear your voice, acknowledge that it's you speaking to us, that we come to that place of fully surrendering everything in our hearts and our lives, our wants, our desires, our wishes, surrendering everything to you, Lord, and that only our only desire left is seeking your face and your kingdom and nothing else, trusting you that you will give, you want good things for us, not bad things. You want our marriages restored. You want to bless us and prosper us. You want to change us and give us good things. We know you want to. Father, help us to get out of the way of our own blessings that you have ready to give us. Help us to step out of our own way so you can come and do your work in our hearts and our lives so we might live for you, be everything you've made us to be, called us to be. And when you bring our spouses, when you bring our spouses back home so they would be blessed by who you've made us to be and who we've become, because you are in us and speaking and acting through us. Father, help us to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. Because if we can do that, we have everything. Let us lose our lives to you so we might gain life. Not try to hold on to it. Hold on to the old marriage. Hold on to the old life. Hold on to the old man, the old flesh. Help us to just let go. Let go of the old man, the old flesh, the old marriage, that you might restore our marriages after you've transformed us in our hearts and our lives. Father, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice on this call and recording later, touch each of us in that place, in that space. Touch each of us in our hearts. Transform our hearts and write your name on our hearts so we never depart from you again, and place you first as our first love in our lives. And everything we say and do comes from that place of you being first in our lives and not care about anything else other than doing what you want us to do. Father, that's my prayer for tonight. If anything else, Father, hear that prayer. And hear that prayer, and all those who agree with me in this prayer, Father, we stand in agreement. You said if two of us agree, two or more of us agree on anything on earth, it shall be done in heaven. Father, hear our prayer and do that with each and every one of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Stay
tuned
again,
guys. Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Come, and if you can't make it, we'll post that as well. But come if you can, so you can ask questions. God bless you guys. Love you guys all. Praying for you. We'll see you Saturday morning. God bless you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.